Hey everyone, and welcome back to Animal Brands Open Metaverse Podcast. I'm your host, Raf, on the digital asset teams at Animal Brands. And I tend to like to start these podcasts with a fun fact of the day about myself. It's not really of the day, it's more a fun fact. And my fun fact is, this is the second episode that we're shooting and I'm already running out of fun facts. However, fear not, friends, because we have not only an esteemed, but even more importantly, an interesting guest that we have on the podcast. It's my pleasure to introduce and welcome to the show, Nom, who is one of the core contributors and co-founders of Bonk.
Appreciate you having me, Rap. Thank you for being here. And obviously the animated intro. I'm mostly here just because I walk dogs and happy to be around and talk all things related to the brand and here in the lovely Animoca office.
Awesome. Yeah, and welcome to the Animoca office. Yeah. What do you think of it? I know a lot of people don't really, we used to be in another area, and now we've moved to a much bigger office, and I'm wondering what you think of it.
You guys have great coffee, first of all. Appreciate that. It's gorgeous. The view, which none of the viewers can see, is in the lovely hillsides looking out over Hong Kong. So I'm very happy here.
Yeah, for some reason we faced the cameras away from the view.
The office, the people being busy, that's what you want to have happen.
Yeah, fair point. All right, cool. Well, it would be really interesting Bonk in and of itself is a pretty ubiquitous token. Everyone who's been in the space knows it quite well. It's all over the map, but maybe not so many people know you. And so I kind of want to put you on the spot a little bit and get a bit personal and with a specific question. The question is, what is something about yourself that you wish people asked you more about?
I wish people asked me more about.
Cannot be Bonk related.
Not Bonk related. Just always good to get a how are you doing, Nom, more than anything else. But no, I'm super excited to obviously be like a contributor and to work on a bunch of different things. But I'm excited to just get my hands dirty, work in a lot of different areas to help build people up, expand on everything that we see going. I get to do a lot of work for either investing or helping build up teams in terms of their structure. Don't really need or have anything that I want people to know about me too much, but I'm always happy to be
around. That's true crypto. You're true crypto
genius. No, I've been fully doxxed by a lot of different organizations already, so I'm not too worried about keeping anything secret, but I like highlighting people who are working inside of the space and making things about them, not necessarily about me.
Gotcha. No, definitely appreciate that. Let's circle back onto you again.
No. All right, good, perfect. Keep it strong right here.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. As I say, a ubiquitous token, got a lot of hype, a lot of attention, but it strikes me that some people actually might not know, particularly the broader audience who might be tuning in, that as to exactly what it is that Bonk does. What is it that you're trying to build? What direction are you taking? How are you building to get there? And then we'll double click on some of those things as well as we go.
Sure. So Bonk is, what most people are going to understand about it, right, is that it's a meme coin based on Solana. They've probably either seen some of the marketing or messaging or heard about some of the campaigns, or maybe they've traded it. But really what Bonk was to start with was a way to be like a widely distributed free token that was a part of a large airdrop after everything happened, with FTX and the fallout of 2022. And what we wanted to see happen was, how could we give something away that people would use inside of the ecosystem for a bunch of different things, from DeFi to creativity to gaming? Because anybody who, was in that kind of depth of the bear market, if you had crypto and you're holding onto it, you didn't really want to spend anything that you had going on. But there was still a bunch of devs who were coming up with great things that needed people to participate. And, one of the things that we had seen work in other ecosystems that we wanted to bring to Solana was this way of bringing everybody together through one idea. And that turned into this meme coin as a dog, right? But now Bonk has turned into essentially a conglomerate of a variety of different tech companies, a bunch of different focus around branding and marketing and partnerships with various different teams, where it's designed to bring more and more people into crypto overall. And also to expand the amount of time that people spend doing things crypto. So not just going into a DeFi platform and depositing something and, you know, leaving it there for months, but actually how do you make any of these applications and these programs a part of your daily basis? And then going from there, how do you make it where it's something that's branded and exciting? Because what every software developer has to deal with right now is competing attention from, you know, some of the greatest developers and companies that exist in the ecosystem. It's not just why are you building in Web3, it's why are you using this specific app inside of Web3. And so we try to see what can we do to help out with making Bonk something that's approachable, it's fun, but it's also something that, you know, people are willing to spend time or be involved with.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, amazing. Sorry. I mean, it's essentially like you basically equipped people with a tool to create their own value when FTX, for example, happened, and that value was stripped away from a centralized perspective, right?
Yes.
And now you've built it into a much, much broader ecosystem, and it's an ecosystem play, right? So tell me about the ecosystem, and tell me about, because it's all well and good to say this is an ecosystem, this is what we're trying to do, and Bonk being, you know, the token and the core is that unifying perspective, right? But what are we unifying here?
Yeah, so you obviously have like Solana as the layer one that Bonk was deployed on. And through working with Wormhole and a couple of other partners, we've expanded where Bonk is available through a bunch of different areas. But the question for any token, not just, you know, a meme coin like Bonk, is what can you actually do with it? So, you know, a lot of this was started with an initial group of about 40 programs that we launched with on Christmas Day 2022. And that has expanded to about 520 programs that have daily active usage on Solana right now. And obviously you can have a ton of them in terms of DeFi, right? You swap one token into another, you use it inside of, you know, any of these lending platforms or maybe as collateral. But what we really wanted to see was how can we engage with the creative part of the ecosystem? So that's everything from the teams that you're seeing on things like exchange.art, the, you know, platforms where people are creating ideas like what does Bonk mean to me? How can they potentially profit off of the artist ideas that they're created, to now what we're seeing in a bunch of games. Like we just launched a partnership with these guys at Sleep Agachi for creating these Bonk character inside of there. Oh, nice. And what we're seeing happen is it's not only of just like what makes these tokens wonderful in terms of like financial transaction and everything that I'm sure, you know, viewers have heard to death, right? They don't even need to hear about why blockchain, why crypto, why tokens. But what you're able to see is that people are coming up with use cases for Bonk that are essentially acting as like a test for what they want to roll out, because people get to be able to try out to building their own, you know, incentivization mechanisms or user feedback loops or rewards mechanisms utilizing somebody else's token. And Bonk is big. It benefits from more attention. It benefits from more people building onto it, and also benefits from experimentation. You're in crypto, you see startup culture. And one of the things about startup culture is that a lot of these things don't work out. But you need to be able to take a lot of shots on goal. You need to be able to try a lot of different things. And Bonk acts as like a safety net where not only is it helping with, you know, getting people access to almost 900,000 holders on chain and a bunch on centralized exchanges, so you're able to get your product in front of a very large audience, but then you're able to essentially see, you know, oh, does this actually work with a token that's live on mainnet, or do I need to go back to the drawing board and try some things out? And that's where we're really trying to incentivize it, because other people are going to have amazing ideas. We don't ever want to be bottlenecks in terms of deciding what people do or don't do with Bonk, but we want to just be there to help them with the ideas that they come up with and then help them succeed longer term. Because if you're trying to bring markets into crypto, you know, Bonk will be a beneficiary of that as long as it's at the forefront. And the way that we can be at the forefront is just continuing to help out and work with a bunch of these different teams.
Right. So that was going to be my next question, right?
No, I'm front running. I'm sorry. I'll try that.
No. It's super neat, actually. What do you call it? Inroads into this question, right? I wanted to say you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right? It's essentially, that's the ethos, right? Come and take that shot. But as you were speaking about it, I was thinking to myself, like, it sounds like from a business model perspective, there's a lot of fleeting projects in and out because you're a test, right? So how do you then capitalize, right? Because you said Bonk will be a beneficiary, of these tokens, right? How do you do that business model wise, right?
Sure. So tokens specifically see a couple of different success metrics in the eyes of average users, right? Some of those are going to be returns. Bonk's done very, very well. Fundstrat put out a piece highlighting the fact that just like partial exposure to Bonk outperforms basically everything inside of the crypto ecosystem and traditional finance. And that's not saying full port into Bonk. That's saying just like having exposure to tokens, usually pretty good. But in order for a token to perform well, it needs to either appreciate in price, or it needs to have significant volume drivers, or it needs to have something where it's deflationary, or any of these metrics to come into it. And if you have one team that's pushing one ideology and one message, that's great, assuming that they're right. And in crypto, I think we're very, very quick to tell teams like, oh, you know, things aren't working right now, and that must mean your whole thesis is wrong, versus an ideology of continually trying, iterating, improving, and building things out. And so for Bonk, I would rather have, you know, a bunch of core teams that I help support in whatever way that I can in there, but then also have hundreds of different teams inside of the ecosystem that are trying things that we're not even looking at. And we're just able to see when they're going to be successful or what we can do to help make them more successful, because it broadens the area to make this token more useful. And what Bonk means to me or any of the other like core contributing group or the folks who are working on the DAO or any of this isn't necessarily what Bonk means to every single one of the token holders. And I would love to believe that we're always right, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we are. And someone else can come up with great ideas for Bonk, and then we can figure out, okay, how do we adapt? How do we participate inside of it? So experimentation ultimately leads to innovation, and you give people the not ability to fail, but a little bit of a safety net in
Here's
terms
that
of
box.
you get to try things out more than anything.
It's an adult
And
playground.
rather than you know, people spending a bunch of time, you know, raising money, trying to build out products, you know, bringing people in and getting ready to develop companies, they get a much more rapid ability to just like iterate and try out their product. And then go from there in terms of like, if it works, great. Let's figure out what that actually looks like. And that's why we work with teams like Colosseum to help out with hackathons and all these other things. Because once teams are ready to like build a product, then they can go to an Animoca or somebody else in order to help, you know, scale, build that out.
Wait, what do you
and
mean
extend
somebody
it.
else?
Never, nobody else. There's no other teams inside of the space, just Animoca.
Yes, right. So I'm feeling a little bit self-conscious as to how deep and sultry your voice is. So excuse me. If I lower mine,
You've got way better hair, dude, so you're fine. This is a good
this is
mix.
laziness. This is laziness. No, so I mean, that's so thank you for kind of describing the initial ideation, where you are now, where do you see yourself, right? And just more core fundamentally, is that meme coin moniker that has been kind of plastered on you, or at least it's how you started, right? Is that something you're embracing? Is that something you're leveraging? Is it like how do you view that? And because very clearly not a meme coin in its most recent form, or even in its previous form, right? So I just kind of wonder like how you square that circle.
Yeah, there's a couple of different things to go into for that. So the first area, like I think a lot of people view this idea of like what a proper meme coin is supposed to be, this idea of something that's like 100% diluted and is on the market and people buy into it and it becomes
kind of an oxymoron,
all these different
a
things and what
proper
they're,
meme coin.
It's this idea of, you know, if you build it, they will come. And that's not necessarily the case or how I view it. So for Bonk, we talk about it as this idea of like a reverse mullet, right? It's supposed to be party in the front, business in the back. It's a bunch of fun things where you see Bonk as a part of games, you see incentivization campaigns, you see people, you know, creating memes and all these different things about it. But the engine in the back room is a bunch of these core tech companies that are working on how can they, you know, make the token more useful, how can they make it be a part of these DeFi engines, and how can they continue to make things valuable. You know, one of the most important things that you can see inside of crypto is other people using a thing and what the benefits of using that thing actually are. So we kind of distilled Bonk's ideas for the next year and going forward into three, you know, core tenets, right? And the first one is essentially reducing what I would call non-useful supply. So if you're using Bonk inside of a game or using it in DeFi or you're, you know, participating in Bonk Rewards, any of these things, that's like useful users doing stuff, right? But there's all of these tokens that get held in, you know, just random wallets that aren't really doing anything, and they just kind of sit there until people are just like, I'll sell it, or maybe they'll use it in these times. And that's what I think a lot of brands have problems with, not even in crypto, but just overall, is this idea of like latent attention, and what does it mean to turn someone from like, you know, a one-time customer into a fan or a fanatic. And that's really what we want to try to do. So reducing that, you know, bonk that exists out there but isn't really being used, yeah. Solving that sort of problem. And you get that by expanding awareness and bringing more people into the ecosystem. You know, people in crypto are really excited about this idea of like onboarding the next billion users or the next, you know, 100 million people and bring things in and all these things. It's like, that's great, but like, just try to bring like two, right? Like, yes, what does it actually take to expand into a couple of different users every single day? What does it mean to bring on 100 new people every single week? What does it mean to onboard 1,000 fans at a sporting engagement, right? Expanding that awareness and solving those key problems, a lot of which are based around like friction and just how difficult a lot of this stuff still is to use, especially given how much time goes into other applications, specifically on UI and UX problems. Yeah. That's a big thing that you need to work on, is like, you need to make these not feel like crypto apps, you need them to just feel like apps. That's a very, very key difference.
Yeah.
And then the last thing that we focus on is just driving revenue. These are tokens, they are financial models, they are incentives, they are all these different things that the whole point is that people have this, you know, financial obligation or incentive towards participating inside of an ecosystem. If you're not building things that are driving revenue to make these tokens valuable, then you're really doing it a service to those users where, you know, you brought them into the ecosystem. If you're not doing something to reward people who are holding the token,
they rewarded you.
Yeah. Like, they trust you because they're saying, all right, I agree with this brand or this vision or this ideology, and I'm going to invest my time or my money into this token. If they're not seeing some sort of return on the investment, and that's not a dividend or anything around there in performance, but just if they're not seeing a value being driven to that token, yeah, then there's no point for that token. And I think there's a lot of fear in crypto teams right now because of the regulatory environments we've seen over the last few years around applying any value to tokens at all, which I think is why you saw meme coins specifically start to do really, really widespread popularity, because the whole value proposition was like, there's nothing. It's just it's just the token.
Yeah. You put
whatever
you
put whatever valuation you want onto it. And that's a reflex of the regulatory landscape. And now ideally that you're getting a lot more teams that are coming in on more exciting, more interesting, you know, ideas, and especially more and more of the, you know, financial clarity that maybe you're seeing from regulators on like, okay, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable versus just a blanket no. Yeah. Then it becomes a lot easier to come up with token models that are interesting to users rather than having to rely on this idea of like the token just exists and the team never touches it and some foundation comes into it. That's not doing any service to these tokens. That's just creating speculative playgrounds. And those are fine and they exist, but in terms of like onboarding brands or onboarding people or companies, you need to have a lot more of like a reward or a benefit for people to actually come in and spend time looking at the token. And I think that's where we're excited to see Bonk continue to move forward, is it can be a meme coin and people can speculate on it and they can trade it and they can do all these different things. That's great. But we, as people who are contributing to the token or as other teams that are coming in and wanting to build on Bonk, we need to figure out what does it mean to actually build something outside of that.
Yeah, gotcha. I mean, so basically everything that you said in the beginning has now kind of come to a head, and like that's the unifying element of it all. Then there's a revenue generation perspective, and then you mentioned a bit of the fanaticism and a bit of like onboarding from the Web 2 perspective, right? And there is no more fanatical fan base that I can think of than sports fans. And I do understand also that you yourself have actually partnered and penned penned some partnerships with a variety of different Web2 sports, non-esports sports teams. And I just kind of want to, I'd be very eager to talk.
I'm happy to talk at any point, but I appreciate you teeing me up, Rap. So I look into, you know, sports teams and partnerships as this idea of, you know, if you look at it in like the NFL terms for the American viewers, right? The vast majority of these sports teams are owned by a couple of rich old dudes, but the fans are the people who get interested and excited and want to be a part of propelling these things successful, right? The idea of fan engagement, even if they're not necessarily like shareholders incentivized in that way. What we're seeing with specifically non-US sports teams, because there's a lot of negative connotation right now in terms of working with US sports teams as a crypto company. What we're seeing with a lot of these other teams that we are working with is we want to make sure that we're growing and expanding their brand to global audiences through the people that we already have at Bonk, right? And expanding what does it mean for them to try to break into the sports market, which is incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
So if they can work with, you know, a crypto-based organization like Bonk, then we can figure out what does it mean to increase their ability to onboard fans, reward fans with engaging experiences. The same thing that we're talking about for bringing people into Web3. But we just really wanted to figure out, like, how do we provide value to existing sports brands and franchises?
And where do they provide value to you? It's cross-pollinization, essentially, right, of user base.
Yeah, ideally, we want to turn it into something where they come in and they're able to participate in the crypto ecosystem in a way that feels, you know, relatively friendly and open to them. And then we're able to increase, you know, our own exposure into various different areas. So we worked with the Paris Musketeers in terms of the European League of Football, figuring out what does it mean to build out some activations and some excitement there. We've been working with Borussia Dortmund, who obviously are working also with One Football and all these different groups that are trying to figure out, like, what does it mean to increase the engagement side of it for, you know, traditional football teams there. And then we've also been working with Baseball United out of Dubai. So essentially making it so that, you know, American baseball can start to hit a larger global audience and get a lot more engagement, especially in areas which are predominantly dominated by, which are predominantly focused on cricket, right? These areas where they're looking at different sports. So
that's one of my areas, dude. Don't try to take cricket away from us.
we're doing small, just exciting into the, or like a little bit of engagements into the market, trying to see what people are looking at. But a lot of these things are, you know, if you're coming in as a crypto-based project, you need to be, you know, trying new things, and you need to be working with teams that are not the incumbents, right? Because the existing groups and the existing organizations that are at the top aren't necessarily interested in changing. They don't really want to move on or try something new because they're successful at what they're doing. So you need to find these groups that are a little bit scrappy, a little bit of underdogs, and help build them up and excite their fan base.
It's kind of core to the ethos of A, why you created Bonk, well, Bonk exists, and B, why we are here in this industry, right? Everyone here is scrappy. Might as well go and find other people that are scrappy and build something together. But it's true, right? I mean, why would these teams or these organizations do anything differently? But I suppose, what is then the future state? Like, is there kind of a roadmap plan for your Web2 partnerships?
Yeah, I think when we started Bonk, and this was myself and a variety of different early contributor groups and the people who formed into the DAO and these other various entities, we looked into this idea of, like, okay, what does it mean for the DAO itself to be participating inside of it and creating a brand? So some of that has been attempts at organizing, like, the gaming partnerships and what does it mean for the character to be there. Some of it has been creating short form and long form video content, right, in terms of not only telling the story of Bonk, but also seeing, you know, can this be interesting and engaging to various different audiences, right? And a lot of this is going to be continuing to see, you know, what is exciting about crypto that currently isn't going forward to various different, you know, groups. So there's always the story of, you know, everybody's getting rich and you're not, and it's a financial area around there. But a lot of the stories that we want to tell and the stories that we want to highlight are the creatives, the people who are able to start, you know, taking back a lot of their ownership or their engagement from existing systems. What does it mean for artists to have control over their work? What does it mean for, not like the idea of NFTs and all these different groups, right, in terms of, like, oh, these are speculative financial instruments, but what does it actually mean for having proof of ownership, proof of authenticity? You know, how does it get exciting for people to talk about, you know, that they have a stake in the game, literally, right, in terms of all these different areas of organization there? And what does it mean for people to feel like they have a benefit in the success of these projects? And that's really the story of what we're trying to tell, and what we're trying to figure out is, let's get a lot more engagement by the fans and the community members into Bonk specifically, and then figure out where it goes from there. The best part of any plan is that it usually doesn't survive, you know, contact with the enemy. So a lot of this is just figure out where is the puck going to be going, what are people going to be trying out, and then how can Bonk be a part of that? You saw, you know, the rise of the AI meta and all these different things for how these projects are working together. So what does it mean for a creator economy now that a lot of people are starting to push into that area, right? And these are questions that I think a lot of people are trying to find the answer for. And we don't necessarily want to have the best answer or the correct answer all the time, but we just want to be a part of that conversation, and we want to be there trying these things out with this team so that when people figure out, okay, this is the right path forward, Bonk is there and it's a part of it.
Right, so we've talked about the past, the present, the future for Bonk. And we've talked about how you guys are actually, even though you're embracing meme coin and your origins, are not necessarily the traditional type of meme coin, right? In terms of your ecosystem, what you're building, your Web 2 to Web 3, cross-pollinization. I suppose the question is, and you might not know the answer to this, but what can we expect? What's the future for Bonk? I mean, like, what's the blue sky state that you see?
So I think what you're going to see, you know, over the course of the next few years is probably a lot more clarity into, like, what does the market really want and what is it looking for? The speculative engine, especially in a, you know, in the current administration, you know, in the US, but all over the world, you're going to see a lot more focus on teams and the incentives that they're being able to drive and the things that they're going to be able to build. You know, a lot of the benefits of the big boys in the traditional financial world coming in is that now teams need to start making a little bit more of an understanding on how can they be appealing to those groups coming in, and how can they be appealing to the average investor, the person who understands what a Bitcoin is and that they want to invest into it, but why should they care about any of these other tokens? Yeah. So now I think you're going to see a lot more ideas on just like, okay, how do we appeal to new entrants into the ecosystem, and how do you also appeal, you know, as a project that people are investing in? So for Bonk, I think the blue sky state is a lot of the work that we're doing right now, both on the regulatory side. So we've gone through all the things around securitization and legal opinions and getting the token set up. But then we're also going to the ideas of what does a Bonk ETF look like, right? What does it mean for Bonk to be in people's, you know, retirement accounts, not just inside of a phantom wallet? And these are kind of the areas where we're really excited to work with a lot of different banking and traditional partners on, you know, make the token useful,
make it
interesting. But then that allows us to expand on, you know, once you have a lot of that comfortability in terms of like the financial state of the token and of the project, then it becomes a lot easier to start pitching these ideas of, you know, what does it mean for Bonk to take on, you know, the Japanese anime market, right? What does it mean for having it not just be inside of mobile games? What does it mean to be inside of something like a AAA title? What does it mean to, you know, make Bonk a part of a TV show or any of these different things? Those are conversations that you can't really have until you achieve certain benchmarks and certain levels. So I'm excited about getting to the levels of like the financial inclusion, and obviously the partners and the teams that we're working with and all the groups inside of the ecosystem are vital in order to get to that point to build this base that people can feel part or comfortable partnering with Bonk, so that they know that it's going to be here in the next 3, 5, 10 years. Right? Then the other
550 portfolio companies. Just
a couple of different groups that we might want to work with. So it's like the blue sky state is build this base of Bonk where it's, you know, it's 2 years old. It's a project that in crypto feels like it's been around forever. But
it has.
In terms of like traditional finance or companies, we're still a scrappy young startup, right? We're still something where we need to prove that we are going to be around for the long term and that teams can be excited about working with us. Yeah. So the blue sky state goes into this idea of let's continue to find partners that are interested and want to come into Web3 that we can help out with the various expertise that exists inside of these different crypto companies, and then figure out how do we, you know, make them not better, but more accessible to the existing crypto organization. So it's not just a team coming in and trying to sell you something. It's a team coming in for the right reasons.
Yeah.
So I really just want Bonk to be the partner that people are always looking for. They want to work with the dog. They're happy. They're excited. It's always interesting to come in and like, I work with a meme coin and a brand and a company that they get to talk about. But turn those, you know, conversations, those partnership announcements and all those sorts of things into, all right, what does it mean to actually bring another 1,000 people on chain? What does it mean to make them spend a couple of seconds of their day every single day working with Bonk and working with these products? And that's the end state. And that's the goal, is continue to make Bonk a part of people's life in small incremental ways, and then see where this goes in the next few years.
In some ways, very overtly, and in other ways, I'm assuming, as a kind of an infrastructure layer where they don't even have to think about it.
You know, people are making a dozen transactions a day with a credit card or Apple Pay or any of these sorts of things, and they probably don't even think about it. Or they have any of these different things where, you know, stuff's on auto pay or in these different areas. And right now, there's still a huge friction point with any of these tokens or any of these applications in terms of getting to that point. We're getting way better. We're improving at a rapid pace. But Bonk needs to get to the point where it's a part of those financial conversations where you don't even think about it. It just exists. It's something that you use. It's something you invest in. It's something you feel comfortable with. And then it can also turn into these ideas of like, oh, it's part of the game you play, or it's part of a book that you read, or it's a part of a show that you watch. And just getting to that point is probably where I think Bonk as a brand needs to get to, and it'll also continue to help Bonk as a token.
Yeah, the trusted partner.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna, one more question to close out.
Go for it.
And it very much relates to exactly what you were just saying. We all know how Web3 has reacted to you guys, what the sentiment is there. In your kind of crossroads and trying to bridge that gap between Web2 and Web3, how is Web2's reaction? Because meme coins have somewhat of a maybe somewhat nefarious reputation, yeah, particularly if you're looking outside in. So I'm just very, very curious because you want to be regulated. You want to work with the regulators. Are they receptive to that?
Yeah, I think it's always a situation where it's not a want to be regulated in terms of like, let's bring in government, make these things organized. But there, until you have like clearly defined rails of what is good and bad inside of any of these areas, it's hard to bring in, you know, the retail investor or participant or individual that people are talking about onboarding. So you need to be able to have some walls in that garden or some safety rails to make sure that they're protected so that they can participate, because otherwise people take advantage. I think for Bonk specifically and the way that people have approached it, you know, 2 years ago, I would have gotten laughed out of any financial institution for saying things like, saying the words Bonk ETF would have had anybody that I was talking with in stitches, and they would have called me crazy. And now it's something where people are looking at it and being like, maybe they don't agree with it, and they're like, why do you need a meme coin ETF? Or why does this need to be part of a financial portfolio? Or maybe it's something where they think, we could get better risk-adjusted returns holding Bitcoin or anything around there. But just the fact that in 2 years that conversation has shifted from, like, derision is almost the only way to say it, of just, like, people being like, this would be ridiculous to be a part of it.
Yeah.
To now people having the conversation are just like, oh, maybe something else is a better choice than just Bonk. Or maybe Bonk is, you know, something that I do want to be involved in or that I am interested in. Just being able to shift that in such a short period of time to going from, like, not at all to being like, yeah, maybe. It's like, in 2 years, that'll be a yes. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, it's super fascinating. I actually was not even close to aware of the fact that these are the conversations that you're having, for example, and that is really a kind of a shift in the narrative. It's quite monumental, actually.
I think there's a very large trend in crypto of just like putting all of the announcements up front and being like, this is what we'll do, and then it's like 4 years of work to get to that point. And for Bonk, we're a lot more of just like, let's just continue to stair steps small wins, get to the point where people are always seeing something, you know, every week, every month, in terms of like, oh, cool new thing that you get to do with Bonk. And I don't think people realize like just the tide that continues to lift this thing going forward. And a lot of that is the work that people do every single day. Well, I get to be out here, you know, having coffee, talking on podcasts. There's a bunch of people who are doing great work for making not only crypto better as a whole, but making Bonk more interesting and exciting.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is, trust me, bro. And this podcast was fascinating. Trust me, bro. So that's kind of it. I mean, I'll do the wrap up right now, unless you have anything else to ask, to add.
Just always happy to answer questions, to highlight things, to talk through people. You know, whenever you want to learn more about Bonk, happy to be a part of it.
Just give the camera your personal phone number.
So it's 555.
911.
I'm, you know, I'm the only nom on Twitter. Happy to answer, be a part of all these different things. You can find me at events, areas. I do a lot of different investing inside of the space. You know, I think there's always something where there's always going to be new companies that we need to support, be a part of. But we also look for, you know, things that Bonk can help elevate or get interested. So if you have an idea, it's probably not crazy. You probably just haven't tried it in the right different way, and we're happy to be a part of it. So thank you, Raf, and obviously thank you to Animoca for having me on this.
Pleasure, Norman. Thank you for being here. Yeah, and thank you for listening. You heard it here. Spam him with any investment requests. No, it was a joke.
I'm a wrap. Whatever I can do, happy to do it. My biggest thing is seeing other people win makes the space a lot better. There is no benefit for projects going poorly. So if you are working inside of this space, you should be doing everything you can to make sure that everybody succeeds.
That's the ethos of the space. That's the ethos of the core ethos of Animoca Brands. The core ethos of Bonk. And yeah, I suppose that's a wrap.
Sure. Thank you very much. Thanks, Raf. Appreciate you having me.
Cheers.
Enjoy.
Oh, that was a solid connection.